Welcome to Manager Tools. The Manager Tools one-page performance review. Part one. Here we go. This cast answers these questions. What is the Manager Tools recommended performance review format? How do I fill out a Manager Tools performance review form? What information is it important to have on a performance review form? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Folks, long before you can deliver a great review, you've got to learn how to be a good manager. And that means one-on-ones and feedback, because you've got to develop trust with your directs, and you've got to talk about performance. The best way to do that is with Roadmap. Our new app resides inside the Manager Tools app, available to every licensee. Come to our website and check it out.
Almost all large companies have performance review forms that people use for reviews, but we have a lot of listeners and folks, if you work in a big company, not everybody works in a big company.
Right.
There's a lot of small businesses alive and well in the world.
Oh, yeah. And we get mail from small businesses that, I want you to do casts for us. And I look through a list of 50 casts and can't find a single cast that doesn't apply to small companies. So that said, small companies, one of the ways you can distinguish small companies from big companies is small companies don't have performance reviews, because if there's one or two or three or five, the owner knows who they are and sometimes their family, and you don't want to do that and so on. But when you get to be big, you end up with performance reviews, because now you've got people systems. Generally, companies start thinking about it between 100 and 150. You could certainly do it with less than that. And some of the big news lately has been huge companies getting away from performance reviews, which is stupid, and we're going to do a future podcast about that. And so if you have the freedom to choose a format you like, if your company doesn't dictate a particular form, or if you're starting a division and your company doesn't do it, but you want to implement performance reviews, don't copy your huge corporation's performance review system. We'd recommend you use our one-page performance review template. It's no problem at all.
Okay, so what's the outline for today?
Yeah, okay. So first, I want everybody to understand the history of performance reviews. Most people don't understand that performance reviews were never meant to be shared with the direct. If you're hearing that, let me be clear. Performance reviews were never intended to be shared with you. The fact that they are is just an artifact of really bad management and growth. And after we do that, I want you to understand why they're there, because that will help you make good choices about how you interact with them. And then from that, we talk about the Manager Tools performance review template, which is one page. You only need one page, guys. It actually can be handwritten. Okay? After some administrative stuff at the top, you put down the key message, which, by the way, those of you who know our guidance about preparing reviews know that that's a key part of any review. On the left-hand side, you've got successes. On the right-hand side, you've got opportunities. And at the bottom of the form, you've got guidance for next year. It's literally that simple.
Yeah, it's a piece of cake. No reason not to give a performance review because of too much paperwork. There's not.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course, people make that up in their heads, because it's really not an issue of paperwork. It's a matter of doing your job, folks. Sorry. Okay, so let's get on with it. So the history of performance reviews, you and I have talked about that a lot over the years, and it's surprising to a lot of folks. They don't know where they came from, and it's interesting and in instructive in understanding performance reviews.
Yeah. Before I do that, though, let me just mention, for those of you who are licensees, we have created already a Manager Tools performance review template for you. It's available in .doc and PDF formats if you're a licensee. So please download it. If you're listening to this cast, it'll be available. And you can use it to make your life a little bit simpler. And by the way, it's the form we use at Manager Tools. We walk the talk here. Okay. If you think of performance reviews as a vehicle for feedback, you're totally in the mainstream. And you're wrong. At least from a historical perspective. Performance reviews, annual reviews, whatever you call them, as most of us know them, an annual review of your performance, were never created to be feedback devices. They were not shared with the person being reviewed.
How is that possible?
Yeah, exactly. You think about it. Why would a manager do that? Why would a manager write a review of performance and then not share it with the individual?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, why would managers have thoughts about people's performance every day, like every day, and not share it with them? Are you going to suggest that never happens?
Yeah. The reason they didn't share it is because the original purpose of performance reviews was succession planning. The organization that invented them was the United States Army after our Civil War in the 19th century. And that makes sense when you think about it, because military organizations have an especially urgent need for succession planning. Succession decisions are often literally in the heat of battle.
Yeah. People die in the midst of performing their duty, right?
Yeah. The first performance reviews were commanders writing about the performance and potential of their subordinates for the purpose of helping the commander's boss make a decision about whom he should choose to replace the commander in the event of the commander's untimely death. Now, you think about it for a minute. I want you to forget everything you know about performance reviews and assume that world you're in a world where none of that stuff exists, and then assume you're the personnel system of the Army, and you realize, oh my gosh, you know, maybe a new colonel comes in or a new general comes into a unit, a division, and one of his colonels, he doesn't know very well. And then therefore, if he doesn't know the colonel, he doesn't know the lieutenants and captains that report to that colonel. The general doesn't know who to promote from among the colonel's direct reports if the colonel is killed in battle. The Army invented it in part because of the problems we had in our Civil War with succession planning. Now, notice, in other words, if I'm the colonel and Mike's the colonel and I'm the commander who reports to him, I'm a company commander or a battery commander in the artillery, which Mike was at one point in his career, but now Mike is the colonel, he's my boss, I'm really a captain.
You didn't even have to say that. People assume that.
Of course, it just rolls off you. It's just so obvious. Just natural leader. The organization, which is Mike, to me, my boss, needs to know some stuff about the guys who report to me so that Mike can make a decision if I meet my untimely demise. But you'll notice there, that's not a feedback mechanism. Feedback is a behavior that's practiced by individual managers to encourage effective behavior in the future. It's not even a performance communication system, because performance communication as is used today means from the reviewer of the work to the person who did the work. Feedback or performance communication, by definition, requires the performance being discussed is being discussed with the person who engaged in the performance. Feedback means the communication has to go back to the performer. That's the whole point of it. But performance reviews were originally built, and by the way, folks, their form today is essentially very similar to what it was in the very beginning in a lot of ways. They were originally built as an organizational system, not as a managerial system between each manager and each one of his or her directs. It was an organizational system to help the organization. If you think of the manager, and this is a reasonable thing to do, it's how organizational theorists think about these things. If you think about the manager of a direct as representing the organization of that direct, that's what role power is. Performance reviews were designed to facilitate one part of the organization, the manager, talking to another part of the organization, his or her superiors, about something the other part of the organization, in this case, let's say Mike, my boss, about something that Mike doesn't know, or about something that I know, the direct's performance, but the rest of the organization doesn't. Mike can't keep track of, if Mike has 15 captains who report to him and he's a colonel, he can't keep track of the 60, 70, 80 lieutenants who all report to those captains.
Yeah, you can't be like, keeping track of you is enough as it is. I mean, yeah, really, exactly. Come on.
Okay, so that was the reason for the system. And some of you have written to me that they've heard me talk about this before on air, that you can Google General Patton from World War II, his review of Omar Bradley. And I think it's one paragraph. And it said, Omar Bradley is the finest general in the Army of all the ones, all the generals in the Army. And I should know because I know all of them.
It's not a bad review, by the way.
No, it's not a bad review at all. Two of the greatest generals, I mean, up there with Rommel for World War II in terms of fabulously successful as leaders and officers and tacticians and strategists and so on. So look, fast forward 70 years. The military has this system in place to let leadership know. It's for junior people to communicate to more senior people so senior people can make smart choices. Okay. In fact, interestingly enough, folks, succession planning was essentially one of the core incredible strengths of GE during the time of Jack Welch, when Jack Welch was widely regarded as one of the greatest CEOs in the history of the modern world, because he did incredibly detailed succession planning to make sure that the right people were in the right job at the right time. That's why, as I tell people all the time, you know, anywhere from 25 to 40% of a CEO's time, the really, really good ones, are spent on people, because the CEO can't do everything. If you have a 50,000 person company, the CEO's not, I mean, yes, he or she's got to set the direction and so on, but then they're talking to people and they're checking on people and they're finding out who's good, and they can't control everything. You know, controlling a 50 or 100 or 200,000 person organization is, I mean, it's not just an illusion, it's a delusion. You can't do it. And there are egos at that level that think they can. Okay, so we've got this organization that needs to be good at succession planning, and they've come up with performance reviews. And so the Captain Horsemans of the world write notes to their boss, Colonel Ozan, and talk about the lieutenants that report to Captain Horseman. And again, the lieutenants don't know what I'm telling the colonel. Okay. I'm communicating privately to my boss. Now, it may very well be that I've told my directs how they did. It may very well be that I've told one of them, hey, you're my number two. But that's not part of the review system as it was originally laid out. Okay, now, fast forward 70 years. Following World War II, the number of large organizations in the world exploded. The rebuilding of much of the world's infrastructure and the relative peace following World War II, as opposed to the time between World War I and World War II, and to some degree the Great Depression, there was massive economic growth in the world from roughly 45 to 65. What that did was drive corporate organizations to become big, sizes not dreamed of outside of governments and militaries. And in fact, in case you're wondering, folks, the militaries of the world are why your organization is structured vertically the way it is. The world's military were very nearly the only examples of large civilian organizations or large organizations that civilian organizations had to model themselves after. And basically, if you're getting big and you need to look around, the railroads stole it from the military and then everybody else stole it from the railroads. The military has had a long history of practicing the processes and systems internally that brought that structure to life versus just theorizing about what it's like to run a 10, 20, 30,000 person company. So 70 years later, corporate and civilian organizations had already adopted the performance review as a succession planning device. Results weren't shared with the employee being reviewed. But as the organization grew, they realized, these organizations, corporate organizations, civilian organizations, they realized they hadn't adopted the manager to direct feedback tactics of the military. In other words, the other system, the close communication about performance, the tactical reviews, the hot washes, the lieutenant, you did this well, but you didn't do this well. You need to tell the sergeants this. You need to do this. You need to take care of this and so on. Those kinds of things hadn't been put in place. And so what you got was a situation where the directs really weren't getting the kind of performance communications that the managers were capable of giving, but they were just communicating in a different way. They were communicating up to help the system, the organization, rather than down to help the individual. They hadn't adopted those tactics of the military and other successful organizations at the lowest level, the what we would call in the military small unit tactics.
Right. I just want to highlight something you said that I don't want people to just kind of go by people, is that they operationalize that feedback. It's not as if every manager, every officer in the Army was all of a sudden a great manager and just intuitively knew to give feedback to their directs. That's not true. What the military did was operationalize the day-to-day giving of feedback through things like hot washes, et cetera. There were systems for it. So Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of talking about systematizing management and why we might want to think about that. But anyways.
Yeah. And full disclosure, folks, in case you're going to write us and ask us, no, I didn't learn any of this stuff we share in terms of one-on-ones, feedback and coaching and delegation and so on in the military. That happened later. It just so happens that when it comes to performance reviews and succession planning, the military was first. And not just any military, but the U.S. Army, where Mike and I served. Okay. What ended up happening after World War II is that somebody, one assumes it's a management theorist, an organizational, you know, thinker, HR executive or something, someone cleverly, but not wisely, pointed out that these organizations, as they were growing, if they didn't devolve some of their corporate controls down to individual small unit level, they were not going to be able to grow as fast. And so they needed a vehicle to discuss performance. They needed some training device or whatever. And so someone, again, cleverly but not wisely, pointed out, hey, we already have a vehicle to discuss the performance, the annual review.
And it happens every year. Hey, that's good.
Yeah, now you talk about a bastardization of a system for the wrong ends that led to misery. There are more and bigger and more painful, but in the world of personnel management, this is a top five gaffe. Gradually, more and more organizations started telling their managers, hey, don't just write the review and send it on to us, which we'll use to figure out who's going to go where in the next 2 or 3 years. Go ahead and share it with the person who's being evaluated. Yeah, go ahead. That'll be our feedback mechanism. And regrettably, managers who hadn't previously been providing detailed feedback to their directs incorrectly believed that somehow the performance review was the way to talk about performance. And this led to many more years of less than ideal performing directs because managers literally didn't want to talk to their directs, didn't want to give them negative feedback, didn't know about the weakness that praise causes, didn't know that not all motivation was pay. Pay is only a hygiene factor. And so they started thinking, I'm satisfying the organization's requirement of me to talk to my people about the performance when I give them their annual review. That's the history, folks, of the annual review, or the system you likely are living in your large organization. And now you know why you hate the review system and why you probably haven't gotten enough performance communications over the years. And it's just how things are done, and not many of us know any better. But here's the thing. Here's why this history is worthy of review. Our guidance about the performance review system, our one pager, considers the history. We absolutely believe that performance reviews are, at their heart, succession planning devices. We think at Manager Tools, Mike and I think, and the rest of the team here think, that performance reviews are an enormously inefficient performance communication system from manager to direct, which managers then wrongly use to justify virtually non-existent performance communications with directs, because I give her performance at the end of the year. And frankly, it's been my experience that the vast majority of organizations I work with no longer use with any diligence the data they are gaining from these performance reviews, despite the fact that they're put together online and the data is available digitally to cut and chop 1,000 different ways. Now, you take this system, you bastardize it, turn it into something it's not supposed to be. Managers then believe they're doing what they're supposed to do. And why are we surprised that performance isn't what it could be? So you take all that, and then you remember the way we feel at Manager Tools, which is more communication is better. If a manager is going to go through the process of reviewing a direct's performance, we ought not to waste that effort as a chance to talk about performance with the direct. And so, yes, you can do a review for the organization and share it with the direct. That said, don't be surprised if it doesn't go well if you don't engage in the day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month kinds of things that give you the credibility to give a good review from somebody who's earned it. So that's why we talk about developing trust with your directs and developing a relationship with them, communicating with them frequently, and then also trusting them enough and building enough trust and respect with them back and forth, a mutually respectful relationship such that they can hear you when you give negative feedback, and you give it frequently enough that there are no surprises. Heck, that's one of our rules about performance reviews, no surprises. And I would say it's the single biggest rule that's violated, other than handing people their review right before they sit down and then surprising them that way. And we actually believe that the feedback model, if there was no succession planning, if there were no performance reviews, if we got rid of that, which virtually everyone is doing, but every manager in return did feedback our way or some way fairly close to our way, frequent, small, as our friend Matt Bentliff says, smaller and sooner, not larger and later, when things get freighted with politics and emotions and fear and feelings of status in society because of your paycheck and so on. Smaller and sooner is way better. And that's why we have a feedback model that takes 15 seconds. So that's the history.
Yeah. And the great thing about all that is if you use that, then the performance review at the end of the year is a piece of cake, right? It is yeah. A non-event.
Yeah. I use OmniFocus every year. And every time I give positive or negative feedback, I make a note in OmniFocus with a little code. And then when I get ready to write reviews, mid-year, end of year, I just call up all the codes and, you know, for each one of my directs, how many positives and negatives, what was it for, what themes do I hear, and so on. Go back through all my one-on-one notes. It's a no-brainer.
That's it for this week. We'll finish this one up next week. In the meantime, have a great one.